This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I am fresh back from the Los Angeles International Auto Show. So we'll be talking about what is going on in the world of kind of new car reviews. But first up, I want to talk to Bassem Wassef. He is an automotive expert. He writes for magazines like Automobile, Rob Report, Men's Journal, and many others. And his third and most recent book, Speed Read Supercar. He's got a brand new book out we'll talk about in a minute there. But Bassem, what did you think about the LA Auto Show? Was there anything that popped out and stood in your mind that was like, holy crap? Was there any holy crap moments for you?
I think it's a really interesting time in the car business, and where else to kind of get the pulse of the business than an auto show? You know, it used to be automatic that everyone was going to be at the show, but with manufacturers pulling out of some of the other shows like Detroit and Mass, you know, I think it's really interesting to see how people are focusing their energies on the LA show. And I think LA is so intense with its car culture and, you know, real people spending real dollars on high dollar stuff. It's interesting to see, especially kind of how the high-end market tackles the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the obvious talking points are electrification, autonomy, all that stuff. But, you know, car makers now tend to focus a lot of stuff towards journalists like myself outside of the physical premises of the show to give you a sneak peek at a car. And, you know, some of the big players that are not at the LA show will do their own things and their own private previews. It's kind of interesting to see how the industry on the inside is tackling this. On the outside, I mean, it's fascinating stuff like Rivian coming up seemingly out of the blue with this, what appears to be production ready electric pickup truck.
Right.
I think that was one of the big ones for me was like, whoa, this thing is real.
Yeah.
And it looks actually pretty well put together. So, you know, that was a big one.
Yeah, I agree. Rivian, R-I-V-I-A-N, I believe. Rivian. A lot of the people in the world have not even heard of this car, you and I, because we're in the industry and we kind of know how the sausage is made. We know about this thing. You guys, for those who are going to go to the Los Angeles Auto Show, it's going on right now, go check that thing out because you're going to go, what? What is that? Yes, a brand new car manufacturer entering the market, and you're going to see more and more of those. By the way, I'm noticing here, born in Cairo, raised in London and Southern California. So you are in car Mecca now, but you know, you have kind of a global view of cars. And of course, your new book coming out, Speed Read Supercar. I want to talk about that in the next segment. But I see also that you do travel the world. You're more than just an automotive journalist. You're a journalist like an Anthony Bourdain kind of guy that, yes, he was a chef, but, you know, he also talked about culture and life in general. I'm kind of the same way. I don't want to just get pigeonholed into being just an automotive journalist because I am a automotive enthusiast, but I'm also an entrepreneur. I see that you're an entrepreneur also, as you're a an author. And so you have a different view, which I happen to like. I think sometimes some of us automotive journalists, we do that too, yes, but we pigeonhole ourselves into being, you know, an expert in one thing or another. But to me, our whole life, I mean, a car is an extension of the person you want to be. It's a personal extension in essence. So really, if you look at the kind of cars people drive and why they drive them, that is actually influencing why the cars are changing these days, don't you think?
100%. You know, it's getting out and seeing other cultures and how they use cars and how some of them don't use cars now. I mean, a lot of cities in Europe now are kind of blocking off car traffic, but seeing it as a piece of the human puzzle to me is fascinating. You know, it's a cultural object. It's very location specific. And, you know, sometimes you don't even realize it until you have a visitor from somewhere that's not the United States and they come here and they're pointing out that, oh, my God, look at all these pickup trucks, or your cars are so huge, or your SUVs are just like giant, you know.
Right.
And, you know, while that trend has kind of spread a little bit more globally, we still have a unique culture that is in many ways centered around the car. I think it's fascinating to go out. I go to Europe probably twice a month to test drive new cars, usually on racetracks, often on the roads, and sometimes off-road too. And just soaking up the differences and how things are done over there is always refreshing to me. And, you know, it gives me, on one hand, I love aspects of American car culture. But on the other hand, when you see the discipline of how they drive on the Autobahn, it just spoils you. You know, it's chaos over here.
Yeah, I know.
In the States, it's just like it's every man for himself. There's no order.
It's so funny. And when we go over there, we feel like it's chaos over there in Europe. All right, hang tight. We're going to talk a little more with Bassem Wassef. He is an automotive journalist, automotive expert, lifestyle expert, Automobile Magazine, Rob Report, Men's Journal, many others. A fantastic read. He's got a new book coming out, Speed Read Supercar. We'll talk about that on the other side. It is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet, the new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Nothing better than a little James Brown, I Feel Good, to wake you up on a Saturday morning across America. If you listen to our podcast, goodness gracious, you could be listening in the middle of the night, truckers, people working out on their treadmills. Two different audiences these days, which is kind of cool. I'm on about 100 radio stations around the country, give or take 10 or so, depending on what time of the year it is. But the podcast world is on fire. People have a chance to kind of spread their message throughout the world 24/7 on demand. So we appreciate all you podcast listeners. We're talking with Bassem Wassef. He is an expert in cars. He works for Automobile, Rob Report, Men's Journal, many others. He writes for them. Lifestyle expert. He has a brand new book out. If you love supercars, here's another one you want to pick up at newsstands. Speed Read Supercar. Tell us about it. Your third and most recent book.
So the thing I love about this book was when I was approached to do it, I had sworn off books for years. I've done two books before, and it is such a time sink. It just takes a lot of time and effort. But when I was pitched the concept for this book, I was like, you know what? I can't not do this. Supercars have kind of been my thing for a long, long time. You know, a stereotypical teenage kid with the poster of the Countach on the wall and all that stuff. But the book takes a really big picture view of supercars. So it's everything from the history and the personalities behind some of the most signature supercars, the design, the engineering, and how it all fits together and what makes a supercar exceptional, what makes it different from any other car. So it was a lot of fun to put together, and it was a lot of fun to parse out which cars I was going to use. And, you know, it's always tough to make those hard choices, but, you know, it's basically the story of the stuff I love most in life.
Well, a lot of people say, what makes a supercar super? Like, I have a 2016 Viper ACR. Many people don't even know that American Club Racer ACR. That, to me, is a supercar. Am I right?
You know, a supercar to me is something that stands so far beyond the realm of what most people consider automotive transportation. It's so exceptional that, you know, it's like the word Countach is a fabled word in the Italian language.
Right.
It's basically an expletive used to say, wow, that woman is hot. And I think if it warrants that kind of emotion, and I think the ACR does, because that I've driven that car, it's a pucker up car.
I'm like, so glad you said that. I was like, oh no, it's not a supercar. He's going to say
no.
Okay, good.
the horsepower and the downforce alone are worth more than the cost of admission, because it's like a race car with a license plate. It's
right.
Crazy.
Exactly. What about engineering versus art in the struggle to build the world's most desirable vehicles? When it comes to supercars, you've got those two things that are fighting each other. You have, like you said, you know, downforce, you have horsepower, you have to have braking, you have to have good looks. I mean, so art and science kind of fighting each other for the same space.
You're absolutely right. It's a real matrix of all these elements. You know, I mean, you could make a car go around a track faster than a race car and make it look like an industrial piece of equipment. But who would want to drive that?
Right.
I mean, the beauty of supercars is they're so beautiful. They're so unlike anything else. It's like why the wedge shape became such a thing in the supercar world. And, you know, it took sometimes art was ahead of science. Sometimes science was ahead of art. But it's like the early days were these crazy, you know, hairy-chested, like the Miura, you know, arguably what a lot of people consider the world's first supercar.
Yeah, beautiful.
Lamborghini Miura, curvy, sexy. It had eyelashes. I mean, it was like, it was sexiness personified, but aerodynamics, not so much. You drive it over 100 and the front end starts to lift. So, right. You know, engineering caught up with them.
Yeah.
Lamborghini's come a long way now. Lamborghini's like phenomenal now, but like for a while it was like back and forth, you know?
Yeah.
Ferrari, you know, Ferrari, somebody we think of as, oh, they're so dialed in, they're Ferrari. But, you know, it took a long time for Enzo Ferrari to be convinced to finally put the engine in the middle of a car. He was stubborn about front engine cars, which is kind of fascinating to me because there's a guy who knew a lot about a lot of stuff, but he was stubborn about certain things.
Yeah. All right.
You see the personalities of these people come out in the cars. It's great.
I am playing Ferris Bueller's Day Off on my show. Every so often when somebody makes the, you know, the Ferris Bueller Day Off, in my mind, award. And you definitely do with your new book, Speed Read Supercar. It's all about supercars. And Bassam, where can people find you? Where can they find your book real quick?
Easiest thing is Amazon.com.
Okay.
It's very easy to find on Amazon.
And if you want to find him on Twitter, it's Bassam, B-A-S-E-M, Wasef, W-A-S-E-F, B-A-S-E-M, W-A-S-E-F. You guys will love reading his journalism. I'm going to call it that, not automotive stuff, because it's kind of like all that good stuff mixed into one. Bassam, thank you very much. Best of luck with your new book, and I can't wait to get my copy. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me, Alan. Take care. Right,
very good. We'll take another break, come back with more of The Drive all across America and around the planet. Stay with us. My dad is a proud doer, always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com, and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So at the LA Auto Show, there's this new car company. Yeah, I know. We were just talking about it with Bassam Wasef, if I can get his name backwards or frontwards or mix it up. But and here's the company. It's called Rivian. And I don't think it's quite so new. I think the world is just hearing about it. And Mike McHale, a dear old friend of mine who was at Subaru for a number of years and many before that, Mini Cooper, all I could say is that when he showed up on site, I'm like, well, that kind of validates that car company, because Mike McHale doesn't just work for anybody. Here he is. Mike, tell the world about Rivian. What is Rivian?
Oh, boy, that's a heck of a question. It depends how long you've got, but I'll give you the very short answer.
Okay.
We are an all-new electric car company. We're an American company. We're independent. We're based in Michigan, where our head office and engineering facilities are. We're going to be making cars in Normal, Illinois. We have a battery technology center in Irvine, and we have a connected car and cloud business in San Jose. So we have been, as you rightly say, very quiet for quite a while. We're owned by a tire car guy by the name of RJ Scaringe. He's so much of a car guy that he's a PhD in automotive engineering from MIT, no less.
Goodness.
And he sat down 9 years ago and mapped out the business he wanted to put together. He's 35 years old, so he was a 26-year-old when he started this business. And you're right. You know, we've wasted our lives, man, you know. But he sat down 9 years ago and said, this is the business I want to put together. And he very studiously, over 9 years, has put this business together. He's got the funding together through his MIT contacts. He has developed a really clear vision of who we want to be. And he was so determined to get this right that he did not put a sign on the building until 3 months ago.
Wow.
And now we're at the LA show with two vehicles.
And, you know, first of all, you sound very sexy, and I know you've been talking your face off at the LA Auto Show. So it's really funny to hear that that sexy voice you got there. But maybe you could, and you're going to do a much better job of describing these two vehicles than I would. And I said before, this is kind of like Tesla, only they're taking all of what Tesla has done, all of the learnings, and actually kind of he's their case study, right? I mean, as far as not Tesla himself, but Elon Musk.
Somewhat.
Right. You know, well, because it's like everything he's done right and everything he's done wrong. Heck, there's a lot of car companies out there that have done a lot of things wrong. But I think at this point, there's a lot of Elon Musk lovers and haters. There's a lot of Tesla lovers. And I think that he's probably done the best job out there of creating a very sexy, very desirable machine or machines. And I think, like you said, if this new car company, Rivian, can do as good or better than that, then you're going to have a winner on your hand. But talk about these two vehicles.
Yeah, I think you make a fair point with Tesla. Tesla have done a great job in proving a couple of things about electric cars that people didn't think were true. So you remember electric cars 10 years ago were golf carts. You know, right. They were slow and they were lead-acid batteries and so on. Tesla proved that electric cars can go quickly. And now we've sort of forgotten that. We all know that electric cars can go quickly. So that was a great thing they have done for the electric car segment. We're proving a couple of more things with these vehicles. We're going to prove that they go quickly, and we're going to prove they can go off-road. So while the comparisons to Tesla are good, we like it, it's fine, it's great. There is a whole movement, by the way, that supports the idea of electric cars. Some car companies are like football teams. You know, you're a Yankees fan, you're an Eagles fan, and you wouldn't dare look at the other team. Electric car fans seem to like everything because they like the space. So we like that. But we are proving this idea that you can take an electric vehicle off-road. And we're doing that with two new vehicles. We have the R1T and the R1S. The T is a truck. It's a 5-passenger truck. And the R1S is a 7-passenger SUV. I'll give you some of the stats on it. 0 to 60 in 3 seconds to start with. 750 horsepower, you know, over 1,000 pounds of torque. These are phenomenal because it's a new world. It's like moving from steam to gasoline,
right.
Moving from gasoline to electric. The numbers just go, you can't compute them. You remember, you know, 500 horsepower is a really big number,
right.
A few years ago. And then suddenly, you know, 1,800 is what the really big numbers are. And we're right up there,
right.
With a $65,000 truck. Wow. So Rivian R1T, Rivian R1S, the pickup and the SUV. We debuted them at LA, and I'll be honest with you, I'm hoarse because I stayed the weekend and did selling just because it was fun and I liked it. You know, I normally, I'm with UPR, you know, I'm with the journalists, I'm at the door at 3.
Right.
But this time I did 10 o'clock every night and I loved it. People were just amazed. And what I think we've done really well is because the whole product is built on a skateboard platform. Everything above the platform is free space.
Right.
So
now,
we could
hold
have
on. Let's
yeah,
talk
okay,
about that.
We'll,
because
hold there.
When you say a skateboard, they're going, a skateboard? You and I know that speak. I just want to take a minute
okay,
on the other side of the break.
Okay, good call.
Because this is such an important thing for you guys out there to be educated on. What is a skateboard platform? OMG. We're talking about Rivian. They're changing the game, and my buddy Mike McHale is right in the thick of it. He's got no voice. This guy and I, we have been around the world together. He was at Mini Cooper when they launched Mini Cooper back in 2002. I was there. Then he was many years at Subaru. You know I'm sponsored by Subaru. I spent a lot of time with him. Now he's at Rivian. Google Rivian, R-I-V-I-A-N. This is The Drive. We'll be right back. You're going to learn about the skateboard platform.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Hurry into the Dodge Big Finish event. That's the new holiday greeting in Santa's workshop, and now he's even upgrading his ride. Like Charger, America's only four-door muscle car. Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class. And Durango, the most technologically advanced, fuel-efficient, and powerful V8 in its class. Santa wants his sleigh to really fly.
Ho, ho, go!
Hurry in for great deals at the Dodge Big Finish event. Based on 2019 Ward's Midsize Sport Utility Vehicle segment, available V8 based on Ward's Middle Specialty segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive. Our show is brought to you in part by Craftsman. We build pride. Craftsman. Speaking about Craftsman and craftsmanship, we're talking to my buddy Mike McHale from Rivian, a brand new electric motor car company. And the craftsmanship looked fantastic on the vehicle that they're showing at the LA Auto Show. Please go out and Google Rivian, R-I-V-I-A-N, and you're going to see something that will blow your mind. Mike McHale, back with us, talked about this new platform. What is the platform? The underpinnings of the vehicle. We would call it a chassis. You know, you could call it the frame. But in this world of electric cars, they call it a skateboard. And it's a platform because it houses the batteries and the electric motors and basically the drivetrain all in this thing that without the body on it looks like a skateboard. Am I saying this right, Mike?
You are dead on. If you imagine a skateboard, you know, a physical dude skateboard,
right?
And then you scale that up to car size, and then where the board is, you fill that with batteries, you are really close to getting what our skateboard is. But of course, the engineers hate when I say that because there's a lot more in the car.
Of course.
So our engineering team, there are a lot of McLaren guys. The head of our engineering team came from McLaren.
Really?
He did the 650, the MP412C.
Wow.
He's that guy. So he came in. And so, you know, all of a sudden we have quad motors in the vehicle, really long drive shafts, great articulation, like 14 inches air suspension, floor settings on air suspension. So each of those motors does 200 horsepower at the wheel.
Oh,
and yeah, so you add up to 750, you know, 800 horsepower, 750 horsepower on this thing. And it's kind of a running chassis. And then the idea is we can put whatever top on it we like. We can put our truck top on it, which is a phenomenal looking thing. Or we can put the SUV top on it, or when we're talking to other people, we can put something else on top. So if, you know, if a coffee company came to us and said, hey, we'd love you to do something for us in the mobile space because it's a fully connected car and jet and level 3 autonomy, we can do that. But that's a conversation for another day. Talk about the cars. The way the cars look, I think our designers really nailed it. We have a guy called Jeff Hamoud, who's our chief designer. He came from Fiat Chrysler. He did the Grand Cherokee and a couple of other things.
Wait a minute. Did you just say Joseph Abood? Holy mackerel.
Yeah, I know. He makes suits. No, I know it. No, that's a suit guy. That's a,
okay.
That's a different guy. He's Jeff Hamoud. He's a FCA guy, and he's done a really nice job because everything above the skateboard, you can imagine, is free space.
Right.
So we could have made the car look like a spaceship if we'd have wanted.
Right.
We didn't. I think we've made these cars look like the cars of the immediate tomorrow. And that's really comforting for people because we're a new brand. It's a new technology. But they look at the truck and it looks like a truck. And they look at the SUV and it looks like an SUV. And then they go, wait a minute. That's a truck, but I've never seen a truck like that.
Mm.
And I'm not naming the competition, but when you put our electric pickup truck next to something that's on the road today, on the market today, they look 100 years old. This thing goes to a new place.
Right.
And the reaction we got from real truck owners, because they, you know, they see the numbers, they see the engineering, and it blows them away. And then we have these great videos. If any of your customers, any of your listeners want to go online and check us out at Rivian, check the videos of the car off-road. It's phenomenal. It's hard to show speed in a video, but you can see the off-road stuff really well.
I got to say, this is, you know, you described kind of today's trucks, okay? Whether it be, you know, Toyota, Ford, Nissan, Dodge, I don't care, Chevrolet, whoever it is. You're right. Today's trucks, in comparison to what Rivian has, are, you know, gosh, they're yester trucks, if you know what I'm saying. And listen, I love these trucks of today. I love them. I love them. But what you have, rather than having body on frame pickup truck, you have body on skateboard, in essence.
That's right.
Right?
It's neither monocoque or body on frame. It's somewhere in between the two. It's a hard body mount.
Right.
So the vehicle architecture is structural, and so is the chassis, because the battery is surrounded by a protective frame. It also has a Kevlar armor plate to it too, so you're not hurting this battery.
Man.
And you put the two together, right? You put the two together, you have this incredibly stiff, incredibly strong body, and aluminium panels on the outside with a steel and composite structure inside. And every time I say to the engineering team, "Tell me something new," they tell me something new. has air compressor in the back. It has a gear guard, which is an extendable cable that comes out of the bed, hooks around your stuff and gives you a warning if someone's touching your stuff in the bed. It has a gear tunnel, which I don't know whether you want to describe on the radio, sits underneath and just after the cab, and it's a pass-through. So it opens from either side of the cab where the prop shaft used to be. And you can slide a shortboard in there. You can slide a buggy in there or golf clubs from either side. And then you can stand on the door that opens to get to the roof because everything's possible now.
Unbelievable.
You know?
Unbelievable.
The big engine goes away and everything's possible.
All right. So you have literally described what I would have heard, 2001 Space Odyssey, Hal. You sound like Hal. You know,
yeah.
But you have described the truck and SUV of the future. But what about range? People are going to go range anxiety, 200 miles. I know this thing has a tremendous range, right?
Yeah. So if the 200 miles is a great barrier for the industry, and that was great to get to, we're at 400 miles.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's out of range. I mean, we're at that point where typical driver in the U.S. drives 60 miles a day or, 50, 60 miles a day. We're at 400-mile range, which means you can drive. One guy said to me, I'm only going to buy this car if I can get to Vegas for the weekend, And drive in from L.A. to Vegas. And I said, yeah, you can do that. And I said, but do me a favor. When you get there, just, send me $1,000 instead of losing it on the instead of losing $2,000 on the gambling.
Right.
I'll put it in a trust for you.
But unbelievable.
Yeah, 400 miles.
But let me ask you, all right, here's another one. A lot of people, there's a word in our industry called vaporware. Is all this real, Mike? Is it all real? Is it coming? Is it going to be on sale?
Well, listen, if I'm here, then it's real because someone's paying me. And it's real. I'm kidding around. It's we have 600 employees. We have four locations where we have... We're manufacturing in Illinois, and if your listeners know it, it's the old Mitsubishi factory. Huh? And when I say old, it's actually a very new factory. They couldn't maintain their presence there, but we were very happy to take it on. It's a beautiful facility, and it's really architected up to make a lot of vehicles. So we have that place. Engineering in Michigan. We're in Irvine and San Jose, 600 employees. We also have a UK office, which makes me happy.
All right. Now, when will it be on sale?
Go and drink decent beer.
When will it be on sale?
Okay. It goes on sale at the end of 2020.
Okay.
And the pricing for after federal rebates, the pricing for the truck is $61,500, and the pricing for the SUV is $65,000. Now, we can sell you a more expensive one if you like. So come in. We have a whole range of available options and things that I think you love about the car.
Website.
At some point, I'll get you to drive it because you like to drive off-road.
Believe me, I won the Baja 500 2000. Get me a website real quick before we got to go.
www.rivian.com.
Too easy. Rivian.com. Rivian. This is crazy stuff. Go check it out for yourself. Mike McHale, thank you, brother. Fantastic.
All right. Love you, man. I'll see you again.
He said he loved me. He loves me! Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, I know a lot of people in the car industry. Most of them are my friends that I'm going to have on this show. Because I'd rather be your friend than your enema, as they say. I mean, enemy. What am I? I don't know. Carl Brower's on the phone. I always have to use scatological humor. Somehow that's always the way it starts with you, Carl. I don't know what happens.
Dude, if you're not ready to be my enema, then we're going to have to end this friendship. I'm telling you right now.
Carl Brower is the executive publisher of Auto Trader, Kelley Blue Book, and Dealer.com. He has an oversized skull. I know he has probably a size 12 and a half hat size. Big brain. Lots of information up there. Carl, you heard us talking with Michael McHale from Rivian. I think the civilized world doesn't quite know what Rivian is yet, so I'm glad we had a chance to talk to McHale and talk to Bassem Wassef. I don't know if you know Bassem.
Yep.
He talked, I mean, that was kind of his, like, wow for the show. I mean, big horsepower out of electric cars. It's much easier to do. Elon Musk with Tesla proved that to the world with some of his, you know, super fast sedans that were, you know, kicking butt on everything on the street. And now we have Rivian with a truck and an SUV that's going to do the same thing. What do you think? Is it vaporware? I mean, is this going to be a flash in the pan? I mean, it seems like, I mean, that 600 employees, they've been working their butt off on this, he says, for 9 years. And all of a sudden, bam, here it is. And it's like, I mean, my eyeballs were open wide like, wow, that looks good. What do you think?
Well,
oh, here it comes, everybody. Come on.
You know, I hate to be the cynic in the world.
No, that's why I called you.
Well, you know what I've realized as I've gotten older is some people call it cynicism. Some people call it wisdom. I've realized it's basically a synonym. But anyways, you know, you've seen this story before when you're someone like me, you know. Sometimes it was called Coda. Sometimes it was called Faraday. Mm. Sometimes it was called Fisker Karma. Mm. I've seen a lot of really impressive sounding pure EV companies come and go. And I've seen one not go yet called Tesla. Mm-hmm. And of course, they've never made a profit. So we've kind of had one pure EV company that wasn't springing from a traditional automaker that's actually stuck around. And it's had everything from, you know, a free plant given to it to massive government help to a really charismatic leader. That's the one that lasted more than, you know, a few years, and it still hasn't made a profit. Mm. Now, does this mean that every future electric vehicle endeavor is a vaporware, flash in the pan, P.T. Barnum story with no real meat behind it? Probably. But no, I didn't mean to say that. I said, I'm just going to say no. It doesn't mean that. There right. will start to be some real vehicle, you know, some real meat on some of these vaporware bones that we've seen in the past. And Rivian could be the one. But whenever someone comes to me, and I had plenty of people, as you might imagine, in the last week, dude, did you see, oh my God, the number? And I was just like, uh-huh, uh-huh. And Faraday Future and Fisker Karma, and, you know, I mean, if I'd have done some more research before this interview, I could probably come up with another 8 that we've all heard the names of in the last 10 years.
Right, but, so, but let me jump in here because I think this is a really good time to talk about, I work with Entrepreneur Magazine. You know that is the world of the car. That's the car world. I mean, look at Henry Ford, for goodness sakes. I mean, I remember the story about, he says, I want a V8. He went to his engineers and they're like, no, it's not going to work. And he went back and said, here's the deal. Either you make me a V8 or you're going to be fired and I'll bring in more engineers. And you know what? Guess what? They did it. And it is the struggle. And I think that, yes, there's a pile of dead bodies that some of these car makers have had to climb up to get to where they are. And maybe, like you said, maybe it's going to be Rivian. Maybe it'll be on the standing on the bones of a Tesla, or maybe an Apple or a Google or somebody will buy Tesla and make them into a profitable company. I get it. But I mean, you cannot deny what they're doing is awesome, right?
I mean, like I say the same thing about Tesla. You know, you make me unaccountable for profit for 15 years and I'll wow you. Trust right, I can wow right. you. Okay. And give me billions of dollars, I can wow
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
true.
You know, wowing doesn't wow me anymore.
Yeah.
You know what wows me? Profit.
Yep.
hitting deadlines that you yourself set out. I mean, no one holds guns to anyone's head here. It says, right. Hey, Elon, you have to guarantee it by this date. He does it himself.
Right.
Then he misses the deadline.
Right,
you know, these guys have put out, you know, and again, what happened with Elon on the Roadster, I'll just never forget, because that's when the pattern started.
All right, hold it. You're going off, and I got a commercial going to run us over like a Tesla. Hang on a second. We're talking with Carl Brower from Auto Trader, KBBDealer.com. He's the executive publisher. We're going to come back, talk more about Tesla's biggest competitor coming up, maybe Rivian. It's the what the hell's the name of this show? It's The Drive.
Yeah, I need you right now. Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning, stylish, sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT, fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Yeah, our show is brought to you in part by Bridgestone, and they're passionate about making tires that you can count on to perform when it matters most. Bridgestone, we appreciate their involvement. Also, thanks to Brembo. Brembo brakes. You got to have good brakes. You got to have good tires. You got to love a lot of horsepower. You better have stopping horsepower, too. Brembo, the choice of champions. Carl Brower, we're talking here with Carl from Kelley Blue Book, Autotrader, Dealer.com, executive publisher. My buddy, we both own Dodge Demons, and I mean, we own the most bodacious machines in the world, popping wheelies, burning out, being animals. Carl, actually, you can, you know, this guy does a weekly review. Am I saying this right on your Demon on KBB?
I'm doing at least bi-weekly, once every 2 weeks. I'm okay. Throwing up a story on the ownership experience in that 840 horsepower monster, and fun stuff,
all
as
right.
You know.
Good stuff. They can find that where? At Kelley Blue Book, KBB.com?
Yeah.
Okay.
At Kelley Blue Book, all you got, if you type in just Dodge Demon, we're on like the first or second page of results. If you type in Dodge Demon owner, I believe we are the top result.
Woohoo! So we were talking real quick about Rivian, the new electric car company that was just kind of debuting their two awesome vehicles. I think they're awesome. Listen, I don't love electric cars. I love Demons, man. But I got to respect the fact that they are coming out with this skateboard style chassis where they can put any body they want on there. I almost think these guys may make it. Now, I don't know, but you had one more thought on that.
Well, I was just going to say, look, you know, about 14 years ago, there was this really incredible set of specifications attached to this really amazing sounding EV. It was going to be faster than anything comparable to it. It was going to have better range than most anything anyone would have thought. It looked great, and it was going to be at this great price relative to its performance that it was promising. It's called the Tesla Roadster. And every time there was an update to those numbers, as I like to say, they always moved the wrong direction.
Yeah.
The time before it was going to get there moved further away. The 0 to 60 time got slower. The range got lower, and the price went up. And by the time it finally hit, it was not nearly the car that had first been described to us, you know, 4 years earlier. Of course, the car took forever to come out. And then the one story I always remember, just because it resonated with me, you know, was that I think it was George Clooney who gave his back within like a 2 week period because of how much it was breaking on him and how much trouble he was having. So like I'm saying, I've seen this story before and I've known how it's ended every previous time. That doesn't mean this one will end that way. I'm just saying, as someone who's seen the story more than once before, I tend to not just be ready to jump up and down and say, that's going to be awesome. I tend to say, another great promise. Can't wait to see if it actually comes to fruition.
I love it. Listen, at a certain point, we have kind of heard this, like you said, we've heard this and heard this and heard this. But if you cross your fingers and squint real hard, these guys could make it. It doesn't look like they've got kind of a wild, crazy, I mean, you know, this guy, if you look at his story, I guess, from what Mike told us here a little bit ago, he started this company, he was like 26, now he's like 35, 9 years later. He's an MIT genius. He's got all the right backing. He's got, you know, an affordable price tag on it. It's not that far out in the future that they're going to actually come out with them. So the question is, do we
Wait.
Yes.
You just described Rivian, not Faraday. Okay, I just had to make sure.
Oh, what happened? By the way, so here, I'll finish this. Do we hold this show? Do we mark this on the calendar and say, all right, I'm going to talk to you a year from now. Let's see how much closer Rivian is. But what happened to Faraday, by the way? For those who don't know, Faraday Future was a similar company like this. They came out and showed some wild stuff at the Consumer Electronics Show like 2 years ago. Or maybe it was right. 3 years ago. But what happened to him? Do you know? Just curious.
I mean, they had Chinese backing and all sorts of ex-Tesla people that supposedly really knew their stuff.
Right.
And really cool-looking cars to show off and really great specs to quote as to what the cars could do.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, hundreds of people employed at the old Nissan building at the 110-405 interchange in the Torrance, California, south of L.A. They had all that going for them. And they basically just officially went belly up in the last like 3 months.
Oh, really? Oh no!
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I'm sad.
Yeah.
I would love to see some new cool fun car companies come along. So I don't know. All we can do is cross our fingers. All right, look. I want to talk more about the LA Auto Show. Maybe you can give me one more segment on the other side of the commercial break here for the news at the top of the hour. And then I think we got the president of Subaru going to come on. You know, they've had like 7 or 8 years of year over year, month over month growth. What is it about Subarus? Of course, they're a sponsor of this show, huh? I know.
They're like the antithesis of vaporware,
exactly.
Right? They don't make up stories. They just quietly go along, continuing to sell more and more cars every year and
making
a lot of loyal customers.
Well, we'll talk to the president of Subaru here on the other side. I want to talk one more segment with you and get a little update on the LA Auto Show. This is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Where does the love for a car come from? If the car is a Subaru Legacy, the answer would be the symmetrical all-wheel drive. Power goes to all four wheels all the time for optimum grip. The Subaru Boxer engine's lower center of gravity makes the Subaru Legacy more responsive around corners and gets better fuel economy than front-wheel drive competitors. What you have then is a midsize sedan with grip, handling, and enviable fuel economy. It's no wonder it turns people into people who love cars. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real-world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, at the LA Auto Show, I get a chance to talk to a lot of the coolest people there. And fortunately, my friend Carl Brower and I are not there at this very moment, but we did record a couple interviews while we were there. And coming up next, we're going to talk to the president of Subaru. But Carl was just on in the last hour. We were talking about the company Rivian, which is a new electric car company. Check it out, rivian.com. And the big question was, is this company another Faraday Future or Coda? Was that the other one? Carl Brower from Kelly
Blue Book?
Yeah, Coda. There was
Fisker Karma.
Yeah. Beautiful design, by the way. I still, whenever I see a Fisker Karma, I love them. Welcome to the show, Carl Brower, by the way. Thank you for jumping on the phone with us here. The LA Auto Show is ending this weekend in Los Angeles. And there was a lot of news that happened there. But I think the one kind of big flash of news, which may or may not be a flash in the pan, was that Rivian car company. We just got done talking about it. But what else stuck out in your mind at the LA Auto Show?
Well, I think the vehicle that stole the show pretty clearly was, not surprisingly, the Jeep Gladiator.
Oh,
it's just an awesome machine. Now, as someone who's driven the new Wrangler multiple times and really enjoyed it every time I get behind the wheel of one of those, and that includes on-road driving, which is the big news for the current Wrangler, is that you don't have to go off-road to enjoy it because it's so refined now. It
finally,
basically is
yes.
really fun to drive.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
It's like a CR-V or a RAV4 before you go off-road. but it still looks like a Wrangler. Everyone thinks you're really cool driving it. So yeah. It's a really fabulous vehicle.
Now, by the way, so to clarify, if you don't know what a Gladiator is, it's a new Jeep Wrangler pickup truck. Go ahead, Carl.
Yep. Yeah, it's based on the Wrangler, you know, somewhat, although it's got its own dedicated platform. They wanted to make sure this thing was truck tough. So it's got an extended wheelbase and a bed, and it has all the cool things you expect Wrangler to have, meaning exceptional off-road ability, removable doors, fold-down windshields, crazy dual-range transfer cases and off-road systems to go anywhere. But it's got a longer wheelbase and a bed on the back so that you can carry things, to load up all your stuff. And it's got really impressive specifications for any mid-sized truck, 1,600-pound payload capacity and a 7,650-pound towing capacity.
Yeah.
And it's going to start with a 3.6-liter V6 that makes 285 horsepower, but it's going to eventually have a 3-liter diesel available in the next year as well. I look at this thing, Alan, and I'm just like, okay, you know, I think the term I used when I posted about it was that Jeep just threw a big giant grenade into the midsize truck category. You know, there's a lot of established players there with some very fine product, and this thing is going to completely make everyone who shops this category reevaluate whether they already thought they had their car decided on or their truck decided on, or whether they're going to have to reorient toward this Jeep Gladiator.
Right, but you said it, first of all. I mean, and we talked about it even with the guys from Rivian. You know, pickup trucks are pickup trucks, and they look like pickup trucks. The Rivian looks like the new modern, newfangled truck. The Jeep Gladiator looks like a Jeep version of a truck, mm-hmm. which is its own little special thing. And I love that you told me, by the way, because I asked somebody and they weren't sure about a 3-liter diesel. OMG, I'm buying one. And then my guess with Tim Kaniskis, who made the Dodge Demon that you and I both own, there's going to be a Hellcat version. I guarantee they're going to do that. I know they will. No, I know it.
We can only hope. But, I mean, just the diesel one, the numbers are right here in front of me. It's going to make 260 horsepower and 442 pounds of torque.
Love it.
It's just going to be an awesome machine. I mean, literally, Alan, that thing rolled out there, and it's like, boy, at some point I do have to break down and buy a new vehicle that isn't for me and doesn't cost too much money, but is actually a semi-functional vehicle for the rest of the family. And
totally.
When I saw that thing roll out there, it's like, oh, boy, that could be it right there.
All right, so, listen, first of all, you know, the clock is ticking away here. I've got something. Oh, yes! I'll tell you what I really want to be. I want to be an automotive journalist like Carl Brower. Coming up next, we're going to talk to the president of Subaru. Carl, thank you, brother. Really appreciate it.
Great being on with you, Alan, as always.
Oh, man. What would I do without the giant, swollen, pulsating brain of Carl Brower from Kelley Blue Book and AutoTrader and Dealer.com? Thank you. We're going to take a break, come back, and have one of the coolest guys in the auto industry that has supported my show for like 8 or 9 years. When everybody told him that I was the guy that was going to cause him trouble, well, they lied. Maybe I did cause some trouble. I don't know. We'll take a little break. Talk to Tom Dahl from Subaru. He's running one of the greatest brands in the auto industry. We'll be right back. You have got to give. Taking is too easy, but that's the way it is.
On the track, even 1/100th of a second decides who wins and who loses. That's why Bridgestone uses advanced racing technology to create their fastest street-legal replacement tire yet. The new Bridgestone Potenza RE71R. Engineered with an innovative hydro-evacuation surface and unique tread compounds, the new Potenza RE71R is designed to give you maximum grip and ultimate cornering on or off the track. Bridgestone is changing the game in tire performance.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Standing here at the Los Angeles Auto Show with the head of Subaru, Tom Dahl. Tom, it looks like you've got some hybrids over here. Talk about them.
Hey, Alan, good to see you again. It's always great to see you at the LA Auto Show and really at all the auto shows.
Thanks.
Yeah, today in Los Angeles, we're debuting our Crosstrek Hybrid. So it's our version of a plug-in that is going to be supplemented with other electric vehicles as we get into the 2020s. So we're really excited about this car because it gives the customer a sport utility vehicle, but also the hybrid capability. And it gets, you know, probably on a charge 17 to 20 miles on a charge, which is for 80% or 85% of the trips that people make, it's perfect.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting to see how Subaru continues to evolve and continues to have year-over-year growth. How many years is it now?
Oh, wow. We've had 11 years of sales increases and 10 years of sales records. And in fact, we have 84 consecutive months. November, knock on wood, will be our 84th consecutive month of month-over-month sales increases. So, yeah, we're very strong. You know, it's one of these things where, unfortunately, we just don't have enough supply. We got a 20-day supply of Crosstrek, Forester, and Ascent. And we're probably leaving sales on the table as a result. We just don't have enough supply.
You know what? Oh, what a great place to be, right? Let's talk about what is coming out for the New York Auto Show. I saw some renderings of it. The new Outback, which looks amazing.
Well, I guess officially we can't say that, but you can say it, I guess. But yeah, it's going to be a great car. It's the next generation of the Outback. Just like this year, we had the next generation of Forester, the sixth generation Forester. We'll have the next generation of Outback and Legacy that are coming. So we're really excited about those two mainstay cars for our franchise.
The Subaru Ascent, 19 cup holders, seats 7 or 8, depending on how the configuration. Right. How's the sales on that vehicle?
Sales are tremendous. Again, that's another vehicle that we just can't seem to stock. And really what's fascinating about it is people are buying the touring model, which is the one with the highest trim. So people are getting into that Ascent and they love it. And we thought there'd be more of a balance between 7-passenger and 8-passenger. And really what we're finding out is people really want that 7-passenger captain seat version. So we're having to adjust our model mix accordingly.
I'm reading over your shoulder, Subaru. 97% of Subaru vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today. That's amazing.
Well, it's a tribute to the longevity that our cars have in the marketplace. And as you know, our customers tend to keep these cars for probably too long. Just like baseball, we like to turn the owner base over. But because the cars last so long and they give the customers what they're looking for in terms of utility, drivability, and so forth, people just want to keep them.
Well, I'm seeing a right on the front row here of the Los Angeles Auto Show, the Subaru BRZ. We were talking to my friends over at ClassicCars.com. We're saying, that's an instant classic.
Actually, it is an instant classic. There's no question about it. In fact, we like to think all of our cars are instant classics. They're all very unique in terms of their style and, of course, the way they drive. So we're very pleased with our product lineup and where it's evolved. As you know, being with us for a long time, as you have, you've seen this company change dramatically over the last 30 or 35 years from this quirky little car company that kind of couldn't get out of its own way to something now that we're the 7th best-selling brand in the marketplace.
Fantastic. Well, and maybe you didn't know this, but 35 years ago, when Subaru was that little company, I remember, you know, I had a Subaru Brat when I was a kid, and I remember thinking, Subarus are such good cars. I started a wrecking yard, and I specialized in Subarus and Hondas, and I think that at one point, we got calls from aircraft, people that build aircraft in their garage, and they were like, we want a Subaru engine because they're so reliable. Because,
right.
You know, you can't pull over on a cloud and fix your engine.
That's right.
So it's like the fact that the vehicles are so well built and that people love them so much. I've been a Subaru fan most of my adult life.
I remember that because you had a partner, right? And you guys had a radio program in Oregon somewhere.
Yes, that's right.
Down in Portland or wherever, heck, yeah. Medford, I think maybe
yes,
it was, right?
Yeah,
yeah, so I do remember that. And you're right. I mean, it's amazing the requests that we get for the engine.
Yeah.
Just as you say, because, you know, the history of the company started out as an aircraft manufacturer. And, of course, after World War II, they had to do something with the aircraft engines, so they decided to get into automobiles.
Isn't that fun?
And so that's kind of the nature of the horizontally opposed boxer engine and the reliability and the fact that you point out that, yeah, you're up 20,000 feet or 30,000 feet, you better be reliable, right?
That's right. Exactly. Well, their slogan is Subaru love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru, and all you have to do is ask an owner, and that's the head of Subaru, Tom Dahl. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Alan. Great to see you again.
Good to see you,
always,
too.
Always great having a conversation with you.
Appreciate it. All right, thanks. From the LA Auto Show, I'm Alan Taylor. We'll be right back with more.
Don't miss the latest auto news, videos, and real-world reviews. Find us online at TheDriveWithAlanTaylor.com.
My dad is a proud doer. always building, repairing, or maintaining something. He relies on Craftsman tools, and I do the same. Today, Craftsman mechanics tools, metal storage, and lighting are available from your favorite retailers. But that's only the beginning. A full line of retooled and refined products are on the way. Find your favorite store at craftsman.com and stay tuned for more big news from this trusted American brand.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Our show brought to you in part by Subaru and the all-new three-row Subaru Accent. Love is now bigger than ever. That's their slogan, love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. Yes, a three-row Subaru with 19 cup holders. Josh Hancock on the line. I saw him rolling around the LA Auto Show with a bunch of movie folks. Josh, what is going on, brother?
You know, it's auto show season.
Yeah,
here we go.
Right? Was there anything that really popped out in your mind besides, you know, we've been beating the Rivian thing to death, but, you know, anything? I mean, okay, the Gladiator from Jeep, the new Jeep truck, beat that to death. But anything else out there that you...
Hey, I'm going to tell you something that I predict is going to be a huge success that you may not even have noticed.
Okay.
And that is the Toyota TJ concept.
TJ. T as in Tom. TJ? What is it?
Yeah. T as in Tom.
Yeah.
And instead of FJ, the TJ is their idea of mixing an SUV and a minivan. And it was there, but they were not really, you know, they had other stuff to show.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, because I happen to be a fan of the Ford Flex.
Right.
And the Ford Flex is going to go away. And we have this issue where we need to carry people, and we don't want to do it in a hulking SUV, and we don't want to do it in a minivan. And I think this concept, which is smaller, it's smaller than a... it's bigger than a RAV4, but smaller than a Flex.
Well, remember Toyota back in the day, I'm going to say the late 80s, I'm going to say, had a Toyota van that was available in four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
And
yes,
that, to this very day, those are very, very popular.
Right. And of course, this vehicle is being shown as a plug-in hybrid.
Hmm.
As we know, I mean, that's the other thing that I will say about this show, because probably the second vehicle, without going on the list that you just went on to, I'm sure you've talked about the Lincoln Aviator, but it was very impressive.
No, I did not talk about the Aviator at all, which is worthy of talking okay. about. Yes, go.
Okay. It is, because it's actually more handsome in person than it is in the photographs, and I think this will be a vehicle that will have very large sales numbers, and they have projected and are prepared to produce many. Now, they showed there's two drivetrains in this vehicle. They're both based on a 3-liter, but the interesting part is the regular 3-liter is 400 horsepower, like the Continental.
Right.
The other drivetrain that's available is a plug-in hybrid with 450 horsepower and 600
Fat feet.
Fat feet of torque.
That is some fat feet. Pound feet of torque is what you're trying
to say. Pound feet of torque. So,
okay. Oh, that's funny. You know what? I'll agree with you. It really does look better in person than it does in the pictures. The pictures look good, but then you are actually delighted to see that it looks as good and if not better in person, because then you see all these little details. Now, Lincoln makes the full-size Lincoln Navigator, full-size SUV, and now this is a mid-size Aviator, and I think this is going to be the sweet spot for them, and this is what Ford is really going to be into, making SUVs of this size and even smaller coming, because people are moving away from cars because they want, you know, room to have their lifestyle, you know, take their family places, The vehicles are getting better fuel economy all the time. When they start adding a hybrid capability to it like this, you not only have good fuel economy, but you've even got more power, which is to your point you just made.
Okay, tell me something I don't know.
Yeah.
What I also like about it is they've moved back to a rear-wheel drive platform, and one of the reasons is so that they can tuck those hybrid batteries up underneath the vehicle, and they don't lose any passenger space or storage space.
By the way, I can feel your phone vibrating. Answer the damn phone, will you? Goodness gracious, who does an interview on national radio without putting his phone on plane mode? Goodness.
You're yelling. I don't know why you're yelling. It only happens with me.
Okay.
I think another very significant vehicle was the Mazda 3 introduction.
Yep.
One of the journalists, I think they one year they went to the parking lot in Ann Arbor of Car and Driver, and they found that more journalists drove Mazda 3s than any other brand.
Really?
It's still very much an enthusiast car. You know, you can, in that range, you've got, and I'm talking about the standard car, not about, you know, when you talk, for example, there's a Focus RS, but a regular Focus versus a regular Mazda.
Yeah,
versus
worlds apart. Right, right.
Corolla. A Mazda 3 design takes it back to looking very European and French.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me take a little break. The other car, by the way, and you're right. You're right about the Mazda 3. This is a very in-demand car that you don't hear a lot about. Kind of a sleeper. Mazda 3. Mazda's done a great job on that vehicle. The other one is the new 3 Series from BMW. Did you know, Josh, they've sold 50 million 3 Series BMWs? 50 million of them. Oh, my gosh.
I don't think that's right.
It is.
Sorry. I'm going to look that up while we take a break.
Please do. Let's take a break. Worldwide, obviously. We're going to take a little break.
Strong. Take it back strong.
That's what they told me. We'll take a little break, and there's more with me and Josh here on The Drive. Yeah, do me a favor. Fact check. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Hurry into the Dodge Big Finish event. That's the new holiday greeting in Santa's workshop, and now he's even upgrading his ride. Like Charger, America's only four-door muscle car. Challenger, the most affordable V8 in its class. And Durango, the most technologically advanced, fuel-efficient, and powerful V8 in its class. Santa wants his sleigh to really fly.
Ho, ho, go!
Hurry in for great deals at the Dodge Big Finish event. Based on 2019 Ward's Midsize Sport Utility Vehicle segment, available V8 based on Ward's Middle Specialty segment. Dodge is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
All right, Josh got me. Josh got me on this one. I thought I heard 50 million. And we're trying to do the math. Last year, the BMW 3 Series sold about a half a million. You know, they sell between 400 and 500,000. So it was probably more like 15 million, Josh, since they came out with the 3 Series.
So I would like a formal apology. I would like it in writing.
Yeah, but 15 and 50 sounds pretty damn close when you're in a crowded room. So I apologize, Josh. You were right this time.
Oh,
I know
God.
It's national
I was incorrect, Josh.
I was incorrect, Josh. What else do I got to do?
I apologize, Josh.
I thought, oh, my God, they've sold a lot. Did you hear that? And somebody goes, yeah, wow. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is. Anyway, that's a lot of doggone 3 Series. So
anyway.
They got a new one coming out. That's what I was trying to say. So there you go.
Yeah, they do.
Yep.
They do. Big time for Porsche.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, Josh Hancock, the man behind the car and the character and all things film and television, he matches the car up with the character in Hollywood. So he's our Hollywood insider. And, of course, we're talking about the LA Auto Show. Yes, I went into the Porsche display, and I mentioned, you know, it's, of course, the 911 is beautiful. And ever since the day it was born, it has been just refined. And it could be, in my opinion, that they've gone a little too far. I could not find a manual transmission 911 in there except a 1967 or 8 or whatever, you know, an old classic one that was in their display in a glass box so nobody could touch it. But the new 911, has only got the automatic transmission, and it's kind of funny looking shifter. Actually, somebody texted me like, what's with the weird looking shifter for the automatic transmission? I said, I don't know. But they, you know, this vehicle has continued to grow. It's getting bigger and bigger. And all of a sudden, almost for once, I looked at the Panamera and I was like, the Panamera kind of looks pretty darn good. The Panamera is the four-door version of the 911, you might say. And
they fixed the Panamera.
Yeah, it really looks good.
And they fixed the back end. They fixed the front end. It's a very handsome sedan.
Yeah. So anyway, everybody, if you didn't get a chance to go to the LA Auto Show, you blew it. But if you're listening around the country, there's an auto show coming to your town, get out, go have some fun. You can sit in a lot of the cars. You know, I mean, really sitting inside the cars makes such a difference. If you just stand there and gawk at them, that's one thing. Get in them. And if they allow you to get in them, which most of the time they do, and there's an expert
standing. So people are going to be going. They're going to be walking up to this locked 911. They're going to say, Alan Taylor said on the drive I could get in the car.
Yeah.
I want to finish the Porsche thing by saying a new 911 is as long as a Corvette.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
put that in perspective.
Yeah, they've continued to grow it. It's kind of looking like it's a little chunky in the thighs. And, you know, listen, when they had the turbo look, I mean, they gave it those big flares over those big back wheels. I mean, it was like awesome looking. All of a sudden, the whole car's starting to gain a few pounds. And it,
yeah, it's huge. I mean, go buy a wide body red eye Challenger, you know?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Save yourself money.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring up the Hyundai Palisade.
Yes, yes, and Kia makes so Hyundai and Kia are owned by the same parent company. Kia has the Telluride, which is probably built on that same platform. But both of these are notable.
The point is, this is Hyundai's Explorer Fighter.
Yeah,
and Kia's Explorer Fighter, which. It's very much of a sweet spot. Now, we know the largest growing segment in automotive is still compact SUV, which means RAV4 size. But the numbers that sell in this 7-passenger are astounding. BMW showed us the X7, which is their 7-passenger version of the X5.
Yeah. Right. Everybody's continuing to make larger SUVs so that their lineup of vehicle is everything from like with, let's just use Kia as an example. They have the Kia Soul, which is their little kind of SUV, boxy little SUV vehicle, all the way up to now their new Telluride, which will be coming out next year, which is a 7-passenger, large, you know, we'll call it almost, I don't know whether it's full size, but it kind of looks full size. I don't know what the classification is. It's a pretty big vehicle.
It's full size.
Yeah.
It's 7-passenger is what you have to know.
Right, right.
And, you know, versus 5-passenger, if you think back, Explorer came out in 1990, and it made great waves because it was a 4-door. Right. And up until then, we'd had a Jeep, but we hadn't had any 4-door SUVs, and it was a 5-passenger vehicle. When they redesigned the Explorer and went to 7-passenger, they really made the Edge the 5-passenger vehicle.
Right.
And so a lot of these companies, plenty of 5-passengers, but they didn't have 7-passenger, including BMW. Mercedes-Benz has that segment completely covered with 2 7-passenger vehicles, you know?
Yeah.
The example is, if you are in any city and you go to where moms are picking kids up at schools, it's 90% SUV.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, I drove the new G-Wagon, the brand new, completely brand new G-Wagon, by the way. Woo-hoo! It's longer, it's wider, it's bigger in every way. I drove the G550 and the G63, which is their AMG version. And all I can tell you is, you know, I mean, look, the one I drove, the G63, was $172,000. But I'm telling you what a wild machine. And if you love the G-Wagon, it just got a whole lot better. There's only three carryover parts: the spare tire carrier, the windshield squirter, and a door handle, period.
Well, so, what's interesting is how, and I mean, the untrained eye could see the outside of that and not really notice that it's been updated, right? But the interior is radically updated.
Yeah, very, very nice. By the way, and where do you want people to look for you? JoshCarr.com? Is that what you're telling the world now?
Absolutely. On Instagram at JoshCarr100.
Ah, JoshCarr100, Dr. J, the J-Man. Josh
Hayes. He was correct about the BMW numbers.
He was right this time. 50, 15, who cares? Anyway, yes, I got you. You were right. I'll give you that one. Josh Hancock, you're a good man. It was good seeing you out there in L.A. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Good to see you.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to Ed Justice. Got a brand new book out. He was there. I'm going to get his take on the 911 because he owns a 911. See if he loved it or hate it. We'll be right back. It's The Drive. Have you ever tried to plan a vacation and the hotel cost, airfare, and pet sitter all add up to one big never mind? Well, it's time to embrace the adventure and go RVing instead. GoRVing.com is your one-stop shop for all things RV camping. Browse the different types of RVs, find a rental agent or dealer near you, and compare the costs. Explore more than 16,000 RV parks and campgrounds nationwide, and even plan your menus for the trip. Find out what you've been missing at GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
There's one guy in my life that I can always depend on to give his honest opinion. No holds barred, never holds anything back, but does have a filter, tries not to hurt your feelings, but the truth is the truth. His name is Ed Justice Jr., Justice Brothers. He's the president and CEO. He was also the host of Road and Track Speed Radio, Road and Track Magazine. When I was doing Car and Driver, Ed and I were doing this radio stuff together. And it's good to have you on the show. And I know you have a brand new book out. We're going to talk about that. A massive coffee table book, Legacy of Justice, an American Family Story. We'll talk about that in the next segment. But I got to ask you, Ed, I don't know what to think about the new 911. I know you're an owner. You're a longtime Porsche 911 owner. And so I'm going to go to the source of the guy that I know will either tell me, yeah, they've, you know, maybe made it a little too fat and changed too many things, or do you like love it? Love it, or what do they say? Love it or list it? That's that TV show. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. I mean, look, at I've been driving Porsches for 50 years. That does date me.
Yeah,
I still own the first Porsche that I ever bought. My wife and I met when I was driving that car. We dated in that car. I've got an emotional tie to the brand. I mean, I guess you could say the Porsche effect has taken hold of Ed Justice. But the new car, okay. You know, the 911's both one of the most rewarding and challenging design exercises for an automotive designer possible. There's the heritage, there's the lineage, it's the most successful sports car ever created in mankind, and you need to change things, but you don't want to change too much. And so there's always criticism from one side. Yeah, it looks just like the last one. And then there's the hardcore Porsche people like myself that say, I love it because they didn't mess it up that much. I mean, and I don't mean that much, meaning it still looks like what I know.
Right.
The interior is familiar to me. And there's an appeal to that. But the new one, okay. Well, it's interesting. You know, you can't go with your first opinion on any car, I don't think, because car designers are interesting. They create designs sometimes that set us back, and you go, oh my gosh, what were they thinking?
Right.
And then you find in about a month or so, you go, you know, I really like that. And how they're able to do that, it's sort of a mystery, really. How do they know to push the envelope? And then you go, yeah, I really like that. The new car has got a lot of touches of the old car. And it also has a lot of new car stuff. So let's go first to the one thing you said. Is it too big? Okay, the car's 2 inches wider than the previous model, which I happen to own, the 991, and it's 1 inch longer. Yeah, I don't think any of us that drive Porsches, that was on our list of, hey, could you do this? Yeah, you know, it's a nature of the beast. As the speed of the car goes up, the obtainable speed, and as they get ready for what is coming down the road with hybrid systems and electric cars and all that, they need a bigger platform for batteries, to be quite honest. And while they don't really, that's not front and center in the talk, that's really what's happening here, because the architecture, the battery architecture, is not like the Volt. The Volt is considered to be antiquated battery architecture, although it's a great car. And frankly, a lot of us are sort of shocked that Chevrolet is going to quit making that car coming up at the beginning of this next year. But the Volt battery architecture is a tunnel down the center of the car. The 911 battery architecture and everybody else follows along the similar architecture to the Tesla. Very thin, big platform, flat, low center of gravity, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And a lot of little batteries rather than a few big batteries. So that's one reason why the 911 is bigger. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I got to be honest, I'm not a fan of that, although getting this newer car, which is already wider than what I was familiar with, I have to be honest with you, it took me a couple months to get used to it, parking it. I was so used to the typical 911 width that when I got in this car a little bit wider and just felt like I was in a 911 like I'd always been in, it took a little bit of getting used to, but I did, and I got to tell you, the car I drive, the 991, which is the current model, soon to be by this new one,
right,
is a fantastic car.
Well, I don't think there's any questioning the fact that the cars are unbelievably well-engineered. They're fantastic to drive, but did you notice there was no manual transmission? What is that? Anyway, give me 30 seconds on that.
Well, you know, Lamborghini announced about a year ago that the manual transmission is dead in their cars. It's all part of controlling fuel economy. These automatics actually drive more economically for fuel usage than what you or I can do.
I know, and they shift faster. Right. They shift faster and all that. But I think I love the mechanical nature of shifting gears. All right, we got to take a break. We'll finish on the other side. And then I want to talk about your new book, Legacy of Justice, an American Family Story. You can find this, by the way, on Amazon. It's the Justice Family Story. A lot of motorsports. Beautiful. I'm even in it. We'll take a little break. It is The Drive. More with Ed Justice.
There are many words you could use to describe the new Kia Stinger GT. Stunning. Stylish. Sporty. The word breathtaking, however, isn't just an adjective. It's a warning. Because while the ability to go 0 to 60 in 4.7 seconds might take your breath away, going 60 to 0 with powerful Brembo brakes will help you catch it again. The 2018 Kia Stinger GT, fueled by youth. Stinger GT rear-wheel drive using launch control with factory-equipped 19-inch wheels. Results may vary. Do not attempt. Always drive safely.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
I'm talking with Ed Justice Jr. He's the president and CEO of Justice Brothers, America's brand for quality, the service department products. You probably had them used on your car for the last 75, 80 years. And Ed is the president and CEO. And a brand new book out, Legacy of Justice, an American Family Story. Big, thick, like 2 inches thick, beefcake of a book. It's available at Amazon. But before we talk about that book, I just got to get your take on that automatic transmission and the final thoughts on the new 911 they showed at the LA Auto Show.
Well, you know, they call a manual transmission a millennial anti-theft device because there are not a lot of people that know how to shift a manual transmission today under a certain age group, apparently. I know a lot that do, but anyway, you know, traffic patterns today, and no matter what town I go to, they go, yeah, our traffic's really bad here, worse around. Every town has bad traffic, okay, globally. It's everywhere. And driving a manual in global traffic patterns is not a fun thing. I drove a manual transmission for 30 years.
I know.
And I finally said, I give up. And that's as an everyday car.
Yeah.
It's different if you drive the car on the weekends for fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, Porsche, like any car manufacturer, they want to sell their cars that are driven on a daily basis.
I hear you.
They don't.
I hear
you. You know, there's not a big market for the weekend driver, but anyway.
All right, but and that is exactly why the classic Porsches are going through the roof right now, and so I'll have to agree with you on that. All right, before we run out of time, because we got like 3 minutes left, tell us about Legacy of Justice, an American Family Story, available on Amazon, everybody. Tell us about this new book. It's awesome.
Okay. The easiest way to find it on Amazon is search Legacy of Justice Madigan, which is the author. You know, it's right at 500 pages.
Whew.
It's got over 540 photographs, many never seen before, came out of our personal family archives. It covers 100 years of history, starting from my grandfather, who was a auctioneer, which gave my dad and my uncles their roots, their sort of sales-type roots. Goes through my uncle being, my dad coming to California, working for Douglas Aircraft, where he got his training like a lot of guys did, that he later used in the race car industry, bringing my one uncle out here, him working for a famous guy called Joel Thorne, who raced at Indianapolis, and Bill France was on Joel Thorne's team, and that's how my uncle originally met Bill France, pre-NASCAR. Then my uncle becoming the first employee for Curtis Craft, Frank Curtis, America's most successful race car builder. And then my dad going to work for Curtis Craft, and them getting involved in the oil business, moving down to Florida where I was born, and becoming the first sponsors in NASCAR, working with Bill France, regenerating that friendship, winning the 1948 motorcycle race on Daytona Beach, winning the first 500-mile stock car race as the only sponsors on Johnny Manz's car at the first NASCAR race on pavement, too, by the way, at Darlington, South Carolina, sponsoring Airplane, the Miami Air Races, all the champions, on and on, all the way up to present day with all the programs that we're currently involved with, the people I work, winning Daytona 24 Hours, just literally 2 years ago with the Wayne Taylor Racing team with the Cadillac. If you're into early racing history and you really want to know some stories that have never been recorded, we fill a lot of blanks. There's multiple interviews. Unfortunately, some of the people that we interviewed for the book have since passed away, like Frank Curtis's son, Arlen Curtis. We interviewed Red Vogt's son. Red Vogt was the first superstar mechanic in NASCAR. My uncle dated Red Vogt's sister. I mean, there's a lot of stories. There's a story about my uncle taking an Indy car, a two-man Indy car that had raced in five Indy 500s, and converting it for street use, and drove it from California to Paola, Kansas, during the war, because he couldn't serve in the military because he had polio. So anyway, there's just an amazing amount of history. And of course, Tom Madigan is really one of the top automotive authors. He wrote the book Edelbrock, Made in USA,
which was
a multi-award winner.
All right. So the book is called Legacy of Justice, an American Family Story, .. and a ton of motorsports history. That's what you should have put in there. Ed Justice, thank you very much, brother. I appreciate your friendship for all these years. I can't wait to get my copy. It's 500 pages, you guys. You got to check this book out. Tons of great pictures and stories. JusticeBrothers.com, so they can find out more about you, right?
Right.
Okay. That's Ed Justice. Ed, thank you very much. If I don't talk to you before the holidays, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. That's about it for me this week, everybody. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll see you next week right here on your radio station or podcast. See you then. O-O-T. If the measure of a car was how many people it turned into people who love cars, the Subaru Outback would be worth its weight in gold, thanks largely to its symmetrical all-wheel drive. Unlike other systems that wait for a wheel to slip, it powers all four wheels all the time. All while with better fuel economy than midsize SUVs. And the fact that the Outback is made in a zero landfill plant doesn't hurt either. It's a car that is truly built to be loved. Love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru.